You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner, 8 lectures, entitled Eurythmy Therapy, Collected Works, Volume 315, translated by Alan Stott. This is Lecture 2, given in Dornach on the 13th of April, 1921. Today I intend to discuss matters related to the vowel element in eurythmy. We need only to recall, as it is known to us through spiritual science, that vowels express more that which lives inwardly in the human being as feelings, emotions, and so on. Consonants describe more that which is outwardly objective. When we remain within the realm of speech, these two statements are valid. Vowels, more expression, revelation of the inwardness of feeling. We reveal ourselves to an extent in the vowel. That is to say, we reveal what we feel toward an object. Through the movements that the tongue, the lips, and the palate perform, the consonants confront themselves more sculpturally to the outward forms of objects, as they are spiritually experienced, of course, and attempt to reconstruct them. Basically, all the consonants are more reproductions of the outward form of things. However, we can actually only speak of vowels and consonants in this manner when we have in mind an earlier stage of human evolution. At that earlier time of the evolution of speech, the movement of the whole body and of the limbs as well was self-evident, since the individual sounds were always to a degree connected with movements of the body. This connection has been loosened in the course of human development. Speech was taken more toward the interior. The possibilities of movement, of expression through movement, ceased. Today, in normal life, we speak largely without accompanying our speech with the corresponding movements. In eurythmy, we bring back the movements attending the vowels and consonants, so bringing the body into movement again. Now we have to realize that when we utter vowels, we omit the movement that previously joined in the outer movement, and we make the vowel inward. We take something away from it on its path inward. We take the movement away. We restore to the vowel in outer movement what we have taken away from it on its inward-going path. In the case of the vowel, matters are such that the outward movement is of exceptional importance in the search for the transition into the effective working of the vowel, eurythmically expressed, on to the whole human being. That is what we take into account here. In speaking of vowels today, we will speak purely of the meaning of that which is eurythmically vocalized in movement. Here it is very important that we develop a feeling for what flows into the movement. We develop a perceptive consciousness that tells us whether what is happening in the respective human limb is a stretching, a rounding, or some such. One must decidedly acquire a specific consciousness for this. In what pertains to vowels, it is extremely important to feel the movement made or the position taken up. That is what is important. Starting from here, we will transpose each of the vowels from the eurythmical into the therapeutic aspect. Practically demonstrated, Frau Baumann, a distinct E made by stretching both arms. This stretching should be carried out in such a way that you then return to the rest position and perform the same movement somewhat lower, return again, doing it with both arms horizontal. Now we go back, and if you had the right arm forward at first, now as you go lower, you must take the right to the back, and now to the front, now a bit back again, and then somewhat deeper. Now, I don't want to strain you further with that, but if you wanted to carry it out, you could make it more complicated by taking more positions. You would then start with the E return. Excuse me. You would then start with the E, return, do it a little further on, go back a little further on, and so forth, so that one has as many E positions as possible, carried out from above to below, always returning to the rest position. When these movements are performed, they are an expression for the human being as a person. The entire individual person is thereby expressed. Now, we could notice, for example, that some child, for that matter an adult, cannot express himself properly as a person. He is somehow inhibited in expressing himself as a complete individuality. He might be a dreamer, in a certain sense, or something similar. Or if we think of a physical abnormality, in the case of a child, for example, that hasn't learned to walk properly, he walks clumsily. Or if, in the case of an adult, we notice that it would be desirable for reasons of health or therapy that a person learns to walk better. This particular exercise would be very good for this. When adults step out too little in their stride, when they don't reach out properly with their steps, it always means that the circulation suffers from it. The circulation of the blood suffers under an insufficiently outreaching gait. So, when people walk in this way, lightly tripping, that has the consequence that the circulation becomes in some fashion slower than it should be in that person. Attempt to have this person learn to step out again, and by having him do this exercise, you will be certain to attain your goal. Then the person will have greater and more penetrating results in learning to walk properly. So we can say that, in essence, this modified E exercise furthers those people who, I will express it somewhat radically, cannot walk properly. It can be summed up approximately like this, for people who cannot walk properly. You can extend the exercise further, and with the addition of a sort of resume of what Frau Baumann has done, it will be that much more effective. Now try to do the whole E exercise without bringing the arms back to the rest position, so that you reach the last position only by turning, turning in a plane, quick, quicker, and even quicker. The E exercise, as it was first demonstrated and described, can be intensified in this way and will benefit those people who cannot walk properly. It will then be extraordinarily easy to bring them to walk properly. One can admonish them to walk properly, and their efforts to walk in a different manner will bring suitable results as well. Now, Frau Baumann will demonstrate the U exercise for us, the arms quite high up and back to the starting position, now a little lower, back again, a little lower, now horizontal, back again, now below, back again, and again below. That is the principle of it. And now do it straight away so that you start above, maintaining the oo as you move downward, and now do it increasingly quickly so that at last you reach quite a speed. Please keep this in mind as the manner in which to execute the oo exercise. If I were to summarize again in the same fashion as earlier, I would call this the movement for children or adults who cannot stand. In the case of E, we had those who cannot walk. With U, we have those who cannot stand. Now, not being able to stand is to have weak feet and to become very easily tired when standing. It would also mean, for example, that one could not stand long enough on tiptoe properly, so that one could not stand on one's heels long enough without immediately becoming clumsy. Standing on tiptoe or on the heels are not eurythmical exercises, but they should be practiced by people who have weak legs, who tire easily while standing, or who can't stand properly at all. To be unable to stand properly is to be easily tired in walking as well. That is a technical difference, to walk awkwardly and to tire in walking. are two different things. When a person is tired by walking, one has to do the oo exercise. When a person walks clumsily, or when, as a result of his whole constitution, it would be desirable for him to learn to step out with his feet, that can be technically expressed as being unable to walk. However, to be tired by walking would be technically expressed as not being able to stand. For such people, the oo exercise is especially appropriate. This is interrelated with matters with which we can deal once we have gone a little further. Now, please, do the O movement, quite high up, and then back to the rest position, and now somewhat lower, back again, lower still, and so on. Now do it so that you do the O movement above. Feel distinctly the rounding of the arms within the movement as you glide down. When you glide down with the O movement, it must remain an O, then ever quicker and quicker. You would see this exercise complete in its most brilliant application, my friends, if you had here in front of you a really corpulent person. If a child or adult becomes unnaturally fat, then this is the exercise to be applied. By making the O so often, and by extending it to this barrel-shaped body at the end, for it really is a barrel one describes outside oneself, we in fact carry out that which forms the opposite pole to those dynamic tendencies at work in making a person obese. It can be applied very well for health and therapy, and you will be convinced that a tendency to become thinner actually appears when you have such people carry out this movement, especially when they practice other things as well, which we have yet to discuss. But at the same time, in this exercise, it is of special significance that you have the person practice only as long as he, she, can, without sweating heavily and becoming too warm. If you wish to attain the desired effect, you must try to conduct the exercise so that the person can always rest in between. Now, Frau Baumann will perhaps be so kind as to do an A movement, quite high above. It is a proper A movement only when this hand lies on the other so that they touch. Now return to the rest position, then somewhat lower, the right hand over the left arm, and then, so that it is really effective, we will do it so that it lies increasingly further back. And now again, from above to below. Then the A must be done so that it penetrates thoroughly. And now in bringing it down, you move further back, so far that you split the shoulder seam at the back. Now, this is the exercise that will be especially advantageous for weaklings, that is to say, for thin folk rather than fat folk, for those people in whom the weakness comes distinctly from within, but is organically conditioned. It has to be organically caused. Another exercise which can be considered parallel to this should be applied with some caution, as it affects the soul more closely. It is the following. Do an A to the rear as well as you can, and as far in as you can. That really hurts. It is a movement that is in itself a little painful, and that is indeed the purpose. It should be practiced with those children or adults in whom there are psychological grounds for becoming thin, such as becoming worn down and so on. Since you must, in principle, be careful in approaching from the outside with therapy by such spiritual means, this too must, of course, be applied with caution. That means that one attempts to engage moral impulses when working with a child who is faint-hearted or who shows signs of depression, when you let him do these exercises. If one concerns oneself with the child otherwise, by comforting him and caring for his soul, then you can have him do these exercises as well. You can see that in the case of all these things, it is to a degree a matter of extending what comes to expression in artistic eurythmy. This is especially true in respect to the vowels. Now, it is very important that we make the following clear to ourselves. You know that the vowel element can be developed in this fashion, and that in essence it expresses inner experience. One must only grasp through feeling and contemplation what takes place. Bear in mind that the person concerned, the person who carries out these things, in order to enter therapy, feels them. In A, he feels that one arm covers the other. In the case of O, though, something more comes into consideration. In O, feel not only the closing of the arm, the closing of the circle, but the bending as well. You feel that you are forming a circle. Feel the circle that runs through it. And in order to make the O particularly effective, make the person doing it aware, too, that he should feel as though he himself or someone else were to draw a line along his breastbone. By means of feeling, the whole is closed to the rear in spirit, as if one were to experience something like having a line drawn on the breastbone by oneself or someone else. Now, we want to do an ah. Return to the rest position. We do an ah somewhat lower. Return again. Do an ah horizontally. Return. Do an ah somewhat lowered. Return. An ah very deep. Return then to the rear. This you need to do only once, but return first to the rest position. And now do the ah above and without changing the angle. Lead it down and to the back. Again, without feeling that you change the angle. This exercise can be really effective only if you have done it frequently. And when you have it repeated frequently, it is the exercise to be used with people who are greedy, in whom the animal nature comes particularly strongly to the fore. So if you have in school children who are in every way proper little animals, and in whom the condition has an organic cause, when you have them do this exercise, you will see that it has for them a very particular significance. In the case of these exercises, you can observe once again that if they are to be introduced into the school, it will be necessary to organize the children into groups, especially for them. You will soon become convinced that the children do these exercises much less gladly than the other eurythmical exercises. While they are eager to do the others, you will most likely have to persuade them to do these, as they will react at first, as children often react, to taking medicine, with resistance. They won't be particularly happy about it, but that is of no especial harm in the exercises having to do with O, U, A, and A. In the case of E, it is somewhat harmful when the child doesn't enjoy it. You must try to reach the stage where the children delight in the E exercise as we have done it. In the case of the others, U, O, A, and A, it is not especially damaging if they carry out the exercise on authority, and knowing that it is their duty to do it. With E, it is important that the children enjoy doing it, as it affects the whole individual, as I have already said. You will profit further by coming to terms with the following. The E reveals man as a person. The U reveals man as man. The O reveals man as soul. The A fixes the ego in the etheric body. It strongly penetrates the etheric body with the ego. And the A counteracts the animal nature in man. Now we will follow the various effects further. If you have a person with irregular breathing, who is in some fashion burdened down by his breathing and such like, you will be able to bring this person to normal breathing by applying the vowels. You will be able to achieve in particular the distinct articulation of the consonants by means of these exercises, as that is greatly facilitated through the practice of the vowels. When you notice that certain children cannot manage to form certain consonants with the lips or the tongue, for the palate sounds it is less applicable, although for the labial and lingual sounds exceptionally good, it will be of great help to the children with difficulties in this respect when one tries to have them do such vowel exercises as early as possible. You will also notice that when people tend to chronic headaches, to migraine-like conditions, These can be appreciably alleviated through the practice of the vowels. So in the cases of chronic headaches and chronic migraine symptoms, as well as when people are foggy-headed, these things will be particularly applicable. Similarly, if you employ the exercises that we have done today for certain children who cannot pay attention, who are sleepy, you will awaken them, in a certain sense, to a state of awareness. That is a healthy and instructive angle of a certain significance. It will be observed that sleepy-headed adults can also be awakened in this way. And then one will notice that when a person's digestion is too weak or too slow, that by means of these exercises, this slow digestion, and all that is known to be connected with it, can be changed for the better. In certain forms of health-promoting eurythmy, it would be good to have the movements, which are carried out with the arms, only in artistic eurythmy, carried out with the legs as well, where possible, only somewhat less forcefully, as I am about to describe. Now, you will ask how one can do an E, for example, with the legs. It's very easy. One must only stretch out the leg and feel the stretching in it. The oo would be simply to stand, with full awareness, on both legs, so that one has a distinct feeling of stretching in both. O, with the legs, though, must be learned. One should really accustom the people with whom one finds it necessary to do the O exercise, in the manner that I had described, to do the O with the legs as well. That consists in pointing the toes somewhat, but only very slightly, to the outside, and then trying to stand in this manner, holding one's position. One must thereby stand on tiptoe, however, and bend outward, remain so standing a moment, and then return to the normal position, then build it up again, and so on, and there's a diagram. It is necessary to take into account the relationship existing between the possibilities of organically determined inner movement for the middle man and the lower man. This is such that movement done for the lower man should be carried out at only one-third the strength. So when you have someone carry out the O movement, as we have seen it, feel that what is done later for the legs and feet requires only one-third of the time, and thus only a third of the energy expended. It will be especially effective, however, when you place this in the middle, so that you have a third, and a third. Let us say ah, and then ah again, with b as foot movement in the middle. We see the table. It will be particularly effective to have them together. A third, and a third. That will be particularly effective, and there's a diagram. So he has one-third ah for the arm, one-third b for the foot, one-third ah for the arm. It will also be especially effective to do the same in connection with the A exercise for the feet, by really crossing the feet. But one must stand on tiptoe and place one leg over the other so that they touch. Again, one-third, and if possible, placed in the middle. That is something which it would be particularly good to have done by children and by adults as well who are weaklings. They will naturally be hardly capable of doing it, but that is exactly why they must learn to do it. In precisely these matters, you see that what is most important for various people to learn is what they are most incapable of doing. They must learn it because it is necessary to the recovery of their health. Ah, with the legs, is also necessary. I demonstrated it to you yesterday. It consists in assuming this spread position while standing, insofar as it is possible on tiptoe. That should also be introduced into the ah movement, and it will be particularly effective there. Now, one can also intensify all the exercises that we have just described by carrying them out in walking, and you will achieve a great deal for a weak child. For example, when you teach him to do the A motion, as we have just done it, in walking, he should walk in such a manner that he always touches each leg alternately. In taking a step forward, he crosses over first with one leg, then with the other, so that he always crosses one leg over the other, so that he places one leg behind and touches it with the other in front. Naturally, he won't move ahead very well, but it is good to have this movement carried out while walking. You will say that complicated movements appear as a result, but it is good when complicated movements appear. Now I want to bring it to your attention that what we have said about the vowel element should initially be sharply distinguished from what we will practice tomorrow in respect to the consonants. The consonantal element is such that it generally expresses the external, as we have already said. In speech as well, the consonant is so formed that a reconstruction, an imitation of the outer form, comes into being through the formative motions of lips and tongue. Now, as we shall see tomorrow, the consonants have very special sorts of movements. It lies within these forms of movement to make the consonant inward again in a certain manner by giving it eurythmical form. It is internalized. That which it loses in the outward-going path of speech is restored to it. And whether one is contemplating them in eurythmy as art or performing them for personal reasons, in the case of consonants, it is particularly important to have not a feeling in the way one does with a vowel, a feeling of stretching, of bending, or of widening, and so on, but to imagine oneself simultaneously in the form that one carries out while doing the consonants, as though one were to observe oneself. Here you can see most clearly that we must admonish the artistic eurythmists not to mix up the two things. The artistic eurythmists would not do well to observe themselves constantly, as they would rob themselves of their ability to work unself-consciously. On the contrary, when you have a child or a grown-up carry out something having to do with consonants, it is important that they, as it were, photograph themselves inwardly in their thought. Then, in this inward photographing of oneself, lies that which is effective. The person must really see himself inwardly in the position that he is carrying out. It has to be carried out in such a manner that the person makes an inner picture of what he does. If you would be so good, Fräulein Wolfram, as to show us an M as a consonant, first with the right hand, now with the left, but taking it backward, now taking the right hand back, and M with the left hand, and now with both hands. That can be multiplied in various ways, of course. Now, an M, we will start with this example to begin with. What is it as speech? In speech, M is an extraordinarily important sound. You will experience its importance in speech, and in speech physiology as well, by contrasting it with the S. Perhaps Frau Baumann will do a graceful S for us now, right, left, and now with both hands. Now, to begin with, it appears that you have the feeling or feel, when the S is done, that you move something within you. It is the etheric body. At this point, the lecturer made the corresponding movement. You move so that you have a snake-like line. This serpentine may approach a straight line in the case of a particularly sharply produced S, and can even be represented as a straight line. By contrast, when you look at the M that was just performed, you have to feel, even when the organic form in which it is carried out is similar, it is not exactly the same element. It is linearly not the same. And so the M is that which, laid against the S direction,